Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted, the Town Hall VIP podcast. Not only do we have Irina, but we have Irina's brother here. Now, you've heard of him before. You met her father last week and his mother. It's, you know, her brother's here, and he is normal. He's not politically astute, so, it is cool to have somebody who doesn't watch this stuff all the time, Chris, I think you're the quintessential normal Republican guy. You don't like that Trump bangs Playboy playmates or tweets mean things. You find that kind of off-putting, correct?
It is annoying.
It is annoying. Whereas I'm like, look, I like hot chicks.
I married one.
I'm pretty sure Chris likes hot chicks too.
Well, I mean, like, but I'm like more obnoxious about it.
Well, that's for sure.
Hot. Look at you.
That's for sure.
Yeah, Irina's got really great hair today. So it's always good to bring in people who have a different perspective because, guys, I mean, we are Town Hall VIPs. We have an agenda. And one of the problems is, and we've seen it with the Democrats lately, is you get caught up in your own bubble and you can't see out of it. I mean, they were all telling each other, Joe Biden is a competent, not senile at all, or corrupt, or perverted weirdo. And it turns out he's a senile, corrupt, perverted old weirdo. Right? And they're all like, what happened? Now, my feeling is, if you're part of the regime media, if you're ABC or Washington Post or NBC or any of those things, and now you're going, I can't believe we were fooled by Joe Biden. How dumb do you have to be fooled by Joe Biden?
But they were actively proving that these were all cheap bait.
Yes, they were because he was saying, he and his minions were saying, no. And they were like, oh, the conservatives are lying. They were either covering up because they're partisans or they were incompetent. And people like me, who's been calling this asswipe senile for years, is a better journalist. And I don't want you to call me a journalist because, ew, that's gross. There's, you know.
I don't want to be married.
I don't want to be married. I mean, I'd rather be caught, like, slobbering in a panel van near a middle school because that'd be less gross. So, anyway, Chris, any thoughts about this?
I find the media to be very frustrating as well.
Do you watch the media?
I do.
What media do you watch?
More of a, let's say more online, let's say. You know, looking at stuff, Twitter, for example.
That's always a mistake.
Or I should call it X, I apologize.
It's always Twitter to me, baby. Always.
And then going online to just the websites, whether it be CNN.com, FoxNews.com. I could like to dance between both just to see what each group is saying.
So you make it a point to try and... So you recognize that there's a bias problem, and you try and go to various sites to see what sounds right.
I think you almost have to do that in this day and age. Going back to your point about the media being so incompetent, you don't know what's real and what's not real. I think they've kind of proven that, you know, whether it be with the Joe Biden issue, like you just mentioned, a lot of this stuff, you know, from COVID kind of come up. Just some of the stuff with Trump in the past, which has been proven negative, really incorrect, that they were lying. You can't really trust them at all.
Now, you're a normal Republican. You're not like me, you know, flaming insane. You're like the kind of guy who would have said, George Bush seems like a sensitive chap. I will vote for him because he'll handle taxes and arrest criminals and keep America strong.
I would even say I'm not even a Republican per se. I kind of see myself even more...
Dude, you're Cuban. You damn well better be Republican.
Libertarian.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll let your parents hear you're not Republican. They'll be very upset.
Well, I told our mother once that I was libertarian. She was like, what? I think she thought I said something.
And that's nothing to be proud of. No, I think that...
like a communist.
It's good. It kind of is.
You will.
With more dough.
They will disown you.
I want to have the right to get high all the time. Yeah, libertarians.
If you want to have that right to get high at all time, by all means, get on.
Oh, I'm so past libertarians, but that's a whole different discussion.
Because we've lived around people who get high all the time, now we realize there's a price to pay for a lot.
I mean, at least when people were doing coke in the 80s, it made them more interesting.
Well, they were very effective too, right? And
I mean, like, who's the greatest character in Die Hard, right? Is it Bruce Willis? It's not Bruce Willis. It's not John McClane. It's Ellis, the coke-sniffing guy. He's banging the secretary one scene. The next, he's going up with Hans Gruber and going, hey, Hans, Bumpy, I can bring him to you. He's the greatest character of the show because of cocaine. Yes, so did Tony Montana. But who's the greatest Cuban character of all time? And don't say Ricky Ricardo.
It's Tony Montana.
I had a great joke when I was doing stand-up. I was like, I'm married into a Cuban family. I feel like I'm on I Love Lucy and everybody else is Ricky. That's a good joke. It's a solid joke. It's a solid joke.
Hey, I mean, I like a Bravo.
Well, by the way, I watched Scarface a couple days ago. He actually does a very good Cuban accent.
He does.
He everyone's like, that's crazy. That's silly. He's so exaggerated. I'm like, well... Have you, guys? But anyway, no.
Just aside. Yes, that's the main reason we named our dog Lucy. So when I walked home, I could say,
Lucy, I'm home. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Anyways, moving on.
You got to name the next one Tony.
Tony!
I need to get a little.
You're barking with me? You're barking with the best.
Okay, that's Dennis Miller.
Or maybe I can have like
that dog, Dennis Miller.
Huh? Like I can have a little dog like Blondie or something, and I can
say hello to my little friend. Oh, say hello to your friend. It's such a good dog. It's Bitey.
And Forky.
Okay, so you make an effort to go and look at different. Do you read Town Hall?
No.
You should read Town Hall.
Don't,
mostly because I write.
I was going to say, the only thing I
read Town Hall
is your articles.
You read my stuff.
Oh, really?
Not everyone, but whenever they come across my plate, I will read them.
Okay. So you don't go out for specific political stuff. You try and go for stuff that's not supposed to be political necessarily.
I think he's trying to find objectivity.
Correct. And just looking at different perspectives, and whether it be political or not.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk about what job you have, but you have an analytical job.
Correct.
Your job requires you to look at disparate facts, collate them, and figure out a strategy. You have a very tactical and strategic job.
That is correct.
Okay, so you're dealing with short-term battles, but a larger campaign picture.
Yes.
Okay, so you apply that to kind of your news consumption.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have friends.
Yes.
Okay. Unfortunately, for Arita and I, all our friends are in right-wing media, pretty much. Because we live in California where everyone hates us. But among your friends, are most of them like that, or do they do things that are different?
Actually, I would say most of my friends are more left-leaning, if anything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So, what do you think about this Biden thing?
I think it's been obvious for a couple of years.
Well, proving you're not a regime reporter.
Right.
Is it not obvious to them?
That he's had a variety of, whether it be mental and physical issues, right? So the fact that everyone is throwing their hands up like, oh, we can't believe this is happening now. Oh, we didn't know it. I don't buy it. But, it, you know, it's kind of like does emperors have no clothes type of situation where they kept on saying, oh, no, he's fine, while your eyes were telling you he's not fine.
How do you feel about it? Do you feel like you've been lied to by some of these allegedly objective media?
Yeah.
How does it make you feel? Because feelings are important, not to me, but, you know, to other people.
You know, feelings don't, when it comes to this, I'm just like, well, I just can't trust them.
You don't expect more from
them. I don't expect more, which is... Maybe it's a...
It's kind of sad, right?
Not as sad to a certain... But I don't expect more.
You should be cynical right now.
And so are you seeing other people that you know in non-conservative life? Because you've got window into conservatism for me and Arita, so you know that we have a different vibe. So among the people that you see, are you seeing people turned off by this?
Yeah, absolutely. People really? Are very annoyed or frustrated that they can't buy or believe what they see and what they, what was, you know, the they were seen in the media before. So I think more and more people are starting to question that.
Okay. Do you think it's driving them towards Trump?
No, because I think most people that I know, honestly, have already made a decision on Trump or Biden or Trump Republican versus Democrat a long time ago. This is not the campaign, or I'm sorry, the debate didn't really change them from being a Biden supporter to a Trump supporter. Maybe it's changed them from being a Biden supporter to let's find who the next Democrat is. But I find that a majority of people are already kind of set in their ways. Right?
Tribalistic.
Correct. Everything's become very tribalistic, very, and so, okay, Biden won't work, or let's find the next person, which I think is going to be a problem because, and I think there's only a very small sliver of the population that's really kind of in that middle that's trying to,
might be persuadable.
Yeah. So it's very small.
Do you think some people might just say, I'm not even going to vote for either?
Yes.
Okay. But they'll still vote for like Senate. You got a Senate campaign here in Texas. We got, Ted Cruz against some communist.
That's right.
It's not Beto this time. At least you guys aren't running a furry.
No, Colin.
Colin Allred. God, he's a piece of shit. Yeah, but okay. Interesting. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talk about what Trump is going to do when he gets in. And it looks like right now he's in the lead.
Right.
I mean, the polls seem pretty clear that people are going his way. Do you sense a lot of fear from people you know? Oh, my God, Donald Trump's going to come in and make us wear handmade clothes.
Maybe not necessarily from people I know. I think most of the people I know are a little bit more.
Not idiotic,
based in reality. I do get a kick of. Reading the things on Twitter or watching the news or seeing some of the highlights from MSNBC or whatever, where they say Trump is going to, you know, do all kinds of, you know, disastrous things as soon as he's elected. You know, I kind of think back, you know, he has a track record. He was president once.
He was.
And he did not do all these disastrous things that you claim he's going to do.
Do you feel he was a pretty good president before COVID? Because I think COVID was a break point. I think there are some people who say, yeah, after COVID, before and after COVID are different. So before COVID.
So yes, if you want to go from just a pure policy perspective, I think he did fine. He did well, actually.
You like this tax stuff?
Yes.
You like the economy stuff?
Yes.
You like the fact he didn't get us in any new wars or lose any of them?
Correct. So yeah, from a policy perspective, absolutely.
Okay.
Everything. But then you brought back, you know, you mentioned earlier, do I like him or do I want to have a beer with him? No, but I don't think I should define who I elect for president as if I personally like him or if I want to have a beer with him, right? I'm kind of more concerned about the policy.
But he doesn't drink, which I hold against.
That is true. He does not. So
he does not drink. I mean, like, nobody's perfect. Do you feel that, look, he's definitely got a different strategy this time. It looks to me, first of all, I think he ought to send a crate of Trump Cabernet Sauvignon from the Trump Vineyards to the old guard at Twitter that kicked him off. Because I think him not being on Twitter is probably the best thing that could have happened.
I do agree, because it's kept some of his, kind of his, you know, I think he shoots a lot from the hip. And some of those kind of silly comments that he would spat out at like 1 or 2 in the morning or whatever.
I know he's not even drunk. He can't be like, I had a couple of beers. I kind of shot my mouth off. He's so sober.
So, no, you make a good point. He just kind of, that's kind of muffling him, which has kind of been a blessing and a curse, but a blessing too. So,
I think it's very interesting that since the debate, first of all, have you ever seen a Trump debate where the story coming out wasn't what Trump did?
No, absolutely. That's actually a very good point where Trump could have lost that debate if he would have done something obnoxious or superseded what happened to Biden. But the fact that he actually played it very well. I loved his comment when he said, I don't even know what he said, but
he knows what he said.
So
yeah, there was only one of those. So they only played that one.
Yeah.
I thought my God, is Trump becoming more disciplined? Because he's not doing a lot of the crazy Trumpy stuff. First, I didn't mind the Trumpy stuff. I know a lot of people did. You did. A lot of people did. I get it. But he's not doing it this time. He's not to the same extent.
No, he's kind of reeled in the Trumpy stuff for sure. So that's good.
You know, I think the Trumpy stuff gives people a chance to ignore the policies that folks like you and me liked. Right? You know? Yeah, there were tax. Look, I mean, he had a good tax policy. But, you know, he called Rosie O'Donnell fat.
Right. And it's very much a distracting item that, you know, that you could easily see in the media that they focus on some goofy comment he made versus, you know, some of the actual policies that are more important. Whether they be good or bad, you're focusing more on the goofy stuff, on the Trumpy stuff.
Do you think it's to Trump's advantage to focus on policies?
I do. But, you know, I'm kind of a traditionalist where I kind of like hearing what the politicians are for. But, you know, now it's more, what, did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
That's kind of what gets the most of the headlines. But I do like the policy stuff.
What do you think of, how do you think Biden's performed as president?
I think he's been subpar. He's really brought nothing to the table. Actually, I don't even know what he's brought to the table.
He'll tell you he's done a great job. He's one of the greatest presidents ever was. He'll tell you.
Well, Trump will say the same thing too.
Trump might be right.
I feel like he's made a lot of poor decisions in his selecting of cabinet or other high posts.
Are you saying Alexander Mayorkas is a poor Homeland Security secretary?
I don't think that they picked the best people for the jobs. I think they went through a lot of just trying to appease certain groups from certain parties instead of looking for the best person.
So basically the quota set.
Yeah.
What do you think of the quota set? Do you think somebody should pick somebody because of an immutable characteristic?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So if it was all unbelievably Northern European white straight males, everybody looks like me in the cabinet, but we were all the best guys. Could you live with that?
Absolutely.
How about lesbian Hindus of color who are differently abled as the cabinet if they were the best people?
Absolutely. I just want the best people.
So you're actually like an American.
I know. It's kind of sad to say that sometimes, that, you know, you have to explain that sometimes, but yes.
So you want a society that's fair. People aren't going to be excluded because of some immutable characteristic, but they're not going to be chosen for it either.
Exactly.
Now, you went to a very prominent college, particularly here in Texas.
That's correct.
So, you believe in meritocracy.
Yes.
It was a meritocracy when you got in.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily a meritocracy now. They're changing. The college admissions thing has changed. They are spending a lot of time picking and curating people based on immutable characteristics rather than actual merit. And a lot of that's happening through society. How do you feel about, academia being one institution, how do you feel about the institutions? Do you think they're strong or do you think they're problematic because they're just not doing their job?
I do find them to be problematic just because I see too many times where certain voices at college campuses are being shut down or excluded just because it makes someone feel.
You mean like Jewish people?
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't. I am very disappointed with our academia in general at a higher level of learning. It seems to be kind of on backwards to what it should be doing.
If Donald Trump put in policies to correct those without burning everything to the ground, I mean, you don't want to see your college destroyed. You want to see your college fixed, right?
Sure.
I mean, I want to see mine destroyed, but we differ. You think that'd be a good thing?
I'd be curious to see what those policies are. I mean, I feel like that's a... I don't even know what he could do, you know, that would...
Well, I mean, set the Justice Department on people who are discriminating. Yeah.
I mean, I think that might be a better use than hassling people going to school boards, because the school boards are putting pornography in the freaking libraries.
Right. Yeah.
Last question, and I'm curious about this one. What do you think of the whole Ukraine thing? Because you're a normal person. You know what? And you have a lot of military people in the family.
Yeah.
That is a very good question, because I am extremely torn on the Ukraine situation. And I'll tell you why. One, because I think of Russia and, you know, I can't stop thinking of Russia as a communist country. I know they're not communist per se.
No, I get it.
But, I get it. I was in the Cold War. So, but, you know, having that, I know what a big dictatorship can do to a country.
Yes, your family's had notable personal experience.
So I very much feel for the Ukraine people. I'm not a fan of Putin. I do not like what. So,
if you had to choose, you'd prefer the Ukrainians win.
Correct. Okay. Yes. But my hang up is, and I'm not sure, is how long do we keep just throwing money at this?
Because it's a meat grind.
Correct.
And, you know, both you and I have young pre-adult kids. I got to say, I was in the Army a long time. I don't want my kid to go fight in Ukraine. It's not their fight.
Yep.
That's how I feel. I mean, again, I like the Ukraine. I trained the Ukrainians. I'm on the Ukrainian side.
Absolutely.
But I think it's the Ukrainians' fight.
And unfortunately, I think, or I shouldn't say unfortunately, but sadly, I kind of agree with you there. But I just don't want to see Russia win. But I'm not sure to what expense or what cost. I think we're getting closer to that limit every day if we haven't passed it already. And so that's a very tough subject to address or answer in just a couple minutes.
First of all, I don't think the media has given us a full picture. I don't think I have a full picture of what's going on. I'm been in the military a long time. I know what to look for. And there are big holes in the media's presentation that I don't know. I don't know exactly what the status is. I just know there's 100 million more Russians than Ukrainians.
Right. So I mean, that's a lot. Numbers are not in their favor.
Numbers are not in their favor.
And the other thing that's weird is, you know, you'll see like $6 billion just disappear and go over there. And it seems to happen every couple of months. And I'm just kind of curious.
Nigerians would look at Ukraine and go, my gosh, I admire your ability to be corrupt. Now, anyway, I want to thank you Arena's brother for stopping by. I think it's always useful for us at Town Hall VIP to hear what people who aren't like us say, because frankly, you get caught in a bubble and you stop remembering that, frankly, it's guys like you we've got to make the case to. We've already made the case to each other. I want you to go get my book, The Attack. It's amazing. It's a very, very good book. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday are my Town Hall columns. Follow me on Twitter. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.